B-Pod Studios.
Yeah, that has helped the Premier League grow in popularity, certainly, because you got guys like Messi or Ronaldo or whoever. Yeah, I agree. That's the gateway to kids a lot of times, is through video games. But now you got this esports thing, and they're all playing video games competitively and making real coin.
Yeah.
Playing them on Twitch.
Yeah, no, it's real.
Yeah, it's nuts. Let's go to Kenny in Jersey on the Fanatic. What's up, Ken?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Kenny.
All right, look, man, I'm startled by some other stats in baseball. I'm startled by the number of African-Americans on each team. I mean, if you look down the list, I can just, like, pick a random team like the Mariners. In 2017, they had one black player, like the Giants, one. Cardinals,
wow.
One. Yeah, man, I mean, the Blue Jays, three. Nationals, one. I mean, that's startling numbers. Giants, one. Padres, none. I mean, these teams don't even have one black player.
I mean, like, you know what's interesting? If you go back 20 years for the Blue Jays, I mean, you can name four or five black players off the top of your head. Dave Winfield and Jesse Barfield,
right.
Like, you know. But the guys who come right to your mind. I mean, jeez.
It's startling. I'm wondering what's the disconnect.
Joe Carter?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, man, these guys were great players, and I'm saying,
but you know what it is? I think it's black kids and it's white kids. I mean, the sport's dominated by Latin Americans.
Yeah, that's true. But man, look, I try to get my son into baseball because he's not built for basketball with the height and football.
Right.
He's not that big, and man, he's really totally not interested in playing. And I played baseball growing up, you know, all Legion ball and stuff like that. But he has no interest at all. It's almost like I'm forcing him to play.
What? How old is he?
He is 12 right now.
Oh, damn, really?
Man, he's fast.
Man, 12,
he's fast.
He should be a leadoff hitter.
Man,
he's set a field. Kenny Lofton.
I had him into ball, man. I had him in and when he was like 10. I had him into a league. And, I mean, he was doing all right for his age. He was the youngest guy, and he would, you know, turn out in the infield until base hit because of his speed. But he got hit with the ball one time, and that was a wrap for him. He said,
really?
I'm not with this. Yeah. And I was telling him, man, you get hit with the ball, that's like giving you a double because you can steal second base, you know?
Yeah.
But he didn't want to.
You got him right back in the box? And
No.
Yeah. That's a shame, man. It's a shame. Yeah.
It is.
Well, let me know if he needs an agent, Kenny. I'm getting into the agent business. I've decided I'm going to be Scott Boras.
That's a sin, though. But he's getting... You know, again, it's a shame. The kid didn't want anything to do with it after he got hit.
Yeah. Well, that can affect a kid. At that age, especially. You can shut it down right there. Or you see a teammate get hurt. Those things can freak kids out, too. You're listening to 97.5, the Fanatic WPEM, Burlington, Philadelphia, Beasley Media Group Station. And we're broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast.
Earlier today with Gargano and Martinez.
So last night, first came back from the break. No Joe, so I don't want to go crazy. But there is one source of concern. The bench. The bench is not good. I just wish there was one guy out there that could shoot the ball and fill it. I'm at the point, Jace.
I see you a little shaken.
I'm not shaking, It's something I knew, but it was
pronounced.
It was on display last night.
And with Embiid out.
Like, that's a bad Heat team with no Dragic. I'm actually thinking about, and I never thought I'd think about this.
No, don't do it. You're not going Carmelo.
Yes.
No. I knew you were going there.
Well, he's the only guy that's out there that has any kind of scoring acumen.
That show recap was brought to you by Dietz and Watson. Try their all-new Dietz Nuts Protein Pack Savory Sausage Snack. Learn more at DietzandWatson.com. Now, here are Anthony Gargano and Jason Martinez.
All right, that's us. Let's talk about kids. We'll get back to the Sixers and Bryce in a second. We're talking about kids and baseball. So my sister just texted me. She goes, She said my nephew stopped playing Little League because he didn't want to do the travel, which is all year. They forced you to play rec, so he was on rec. He didn't get the playing time because the coach played all the travel kids because he wanted to win, and that was third grade. Now he's getting into it again, but he's missed 3 years, and there's no rec for his age, only travel.
See, that's the other part of it. It's a big problem with youth sports, all these travel things. The money it costs, and there's a lot of politics involved.
You know more than anything with the hockey.
Oh, it's insane.
The hockey's outrageous.
No, it's insane.
And you guys are playing in tournaments all over the...
Well, we started the first week of August.
You're playing in Boston, you're playing in Pittsburgh.
Yep, up and down, everywhere. It's insane. Somebody just tweeted me this, too. That Wall Street Journal article. It says there are two sports that have increased in youth involvement over that time period. The participation in lacrosse up 158%. That's a sport that's like a brush fire. It is really spreading big time.
What's the numbers?
I just have the percentages here.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to know the numbers now.
Yeah, I'll try and get them. And the participation in hockey is actually up 64%. Because that's just availability of rinks.
Well, yeah. I can see that. And listen, lacrosse is a great sport. My other goddaughter, Alyssa, she's playing for Hofstra.
Okay.
She's a freshman. Hofstra's really good at lacrosse.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, what's so cool? So she was on, they played USC a week ago Saturday. So nowadays everything's online. I went online and I watched her play Hofstra play USC, and I watched her play online.
No, that's awesome.
Right on your iPad.
Yeah, stream it. Yeah, it's killer. Because they all have their own online networks and broadcast type things at every big university. They have all those.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's cool.
My buddy Toots, his daughter, he went out to, how cool is that? Go down to SC.
Yeah.
Right? Like, just us, because we get into that from our college football stuff, right?
Yeah.
He's going out, his daughter's playing for USC. Like when she got the
walking around the campus.
Her first, it was cool because her first, they had scrimmages in the fall. And so they have all her gear laid out. And, she's got four different pairs of cleats.
Oh, yeah.
She's got all the gear. Yeah, it's cool.
All the swag, everything.
That's what
I'm saying.
Sweatsuits. Like, right, exactly.
Yep.
But all the different gear,
mm-hmm.
For warm-ups, the whole workouts.
Yeah.
But, she's a freshman, and she's playing, she's starting. She's a freshman, and, her schedule's ridiculous. They get up and run at 6 o'clock in the morning, right? Then they do workouts, practice. She's at class. Her day goes from 6 a.m., and she's not getting done until, 9 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. It's a full calendar every day. Every minute's accounted for. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Matt in Abington on the Fanatic. Hey, Matty.
Yo, guys. What's going on?
How you doing?
So just before I touch on the Philly sports, I just want to touch on the whole kid thing with baseball and all that. When you're 6, 7, 8, let's just say 8 years old, you go outside and you have a catch with your dad. Today's generation, they don't want to have to catch with their dad anymore. They just want to play video games. And for an 8-year-old who's energetic, sitting on a baseball field or watching a baseball game, that's not energetic to them. They don't want to sit around. They don't want to stand around. They just don't have the attention span to do it. So you lose a lot there.
But didn't you always, you always had a kid that was, picking daisies in the outfield, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, obviously it's more pronounced today because we're in the electronic age. But that sport, you gotta grow to love that sport.
Exactly, but it's hard to love when when you're not doing it at a younger age at the level back in the day. When I was having to catch with my dad and things like that. In a sense, the interest just isn't there the same anymore.
No, I it's funny. Like my little one will have a catch with me, and I cherish it. Like the fact that he wants to have a catch with me, and he's turning 6 next week, and it's like the best. Let's go have a catch.
So as far as the I'm gonna just hit on him really quick. The Sixers goes, I'm on board for Melo. He could average more points than all of our bench put together.
Are we desperate at this point, Matt?
I think so.
I mean, don't we need someone off that bench that can legitimately score?
There's nothing else out there. Unless somehow a Trevor Ariza or a Rudy Gay gets bought out or something like that.
Right.
Well, it might be your best answer.
No, I hear you.
Your only option.
You just take a look at him and see. And if he's a problem, then you get rid of him. That's all.
You guys are going to hate me for this, but Antonio Brown, I'm on board. I'm completely on board. I'd try and trade for him, take his 2 years. I mean, this might be the only year we can actually salvage another Super Bowl once you try and pay Carson all this money. And then our whole entire secondary is all free agents come next year. I mean, this might be the year that we're able to do it. I say go for it.
Do you trust him? That's the problem.
I'm going for it. And then for the Phillies, last but not least, I'm paying Bryce Harper the $400 million plus $5 more on top of it. Once next year comes around, I mean, if you don't get him and you're nickel and diamond and saying, you know, we'll be all right till next year. You know, this guy comes out, that guy comes out. Wait till Bryce Harper gets that $400 million from somebody else. He's going to set the bar high for the next guy. What do you think Trout's going to want, or Arenado or somebody like that?
Well, that's why it's his responsibility to take the highest offer, despite the fact that he doesn't want to play maybe in Philadelphia, if that is true. I don't know that it is. But the players union, you're going to leave $350 on the table to take $280 and go to San Francisco? You're messing up our market, because now you're messing with what I make when
that's
I become
true.
A free agent.
It's true.
610-632-0975. That is the number to get in. It is the Midday Show. That's Anthony Gargano, Jason Martinez, and we are going to get back to the phones coming up. One open line if you want to grab it. Another pair of Temple tickets on the way as well, because they take on Tulsa tomorrow. It is the Midday Show. Anthony,
right now, they're the 12 seed in the Joe Lunardi bracketology, Temple.
You got the 12 seed?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I like that. We're back after this.
All right, listen, I was there last night. What a spot. Parks Casino, yeah. We were live at the Sportsbook Parks Casino. It's so much fun. Man, people are coming in, and we're hanging out, talking to everybody. Hey, what's going on? And it was a lot of fun watching. You meet all kinds of great people, and we love it. Every Thursday, we do our show, the Cuz Corner from Parks Casino. It's Pennsylvania's number one casino, and Parks has it all for the sharps or the first-time sports bettor. They make it easy to get your action in. You can bet spreads and parlays and teasers and props and much more right there. So you have the cashiers with all the odds going by, or you got the kiosks all over the place. You got the big screens in front of a beautiful bar to watch all the games. They had all the games on last night. A lot of fun there. There's also kiosks throughout the casino where you can make your bets, print your tickets 24 hours a day. You can also place your sports bets on the way to the game at the South Philly Turf Club right there on Packer Avenue, right near the stadiums. Sports betting is now available at the South Philly Turf Club. Parks Casino also has a lot of food options. Liberty Bell Gastro Pub, the Parks Grill Steakhouse, the beautiful new beer garden. It's outrageous. Oliveto Italian Restaurant, Bamboo Noodle House, and of course, the great Chickies and Pete's. Bet with the best. The Sportsbook at Parks Casino. PA's number one casino. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hey, real quick. So, last night, did you see, I asked this before, but so James Harden, it was Lakers Rockets, and there's a notorious official, and Foster, and James Harden was in early foul trouble. He got called for 5 offensive fouls. And so he hates this guy, Scott Foster.
Mm-hmm.
The Warriors had a problem with Scott Foster, too. And so they took him off. He was the guy they took off of game 7.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's got a problem with the Rockets. And James Harden won't even speak to him on the floor. He fouled out last night. He got called for 5 offensive fouls.
Four.
Yeah.
Wow.
He had 3 in the first quarter.
Jeez. That's a way to limit a guy's efficacy in a game.
Right? He had 3 fouls early in the game. And this Scott Foster, it's amazing because the Rockets, Harden hates him. Now, he's a 25-year NBA veteran who was voted as the league's worst official in a 2016 poll by the players and coaches conducted by the LA Times. In January of last year, Chris Paul referred to Foster as the man and who the fans pay to see after being given a technical foul late in the win over Portland. So, like, they hate this guy, Scott Foster. The only thing that's weird is that they did this study, and in the playoffs, the underdogs, the road underdogs in games that he did were 7-1. And Whoa. They won outright. And like, there's a bunch of outright winners.
Really?
And he.
That raises my eyebrow.
Well, here's the only question, because we just read the Donaghy story.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. I just read something, and last night was weird because of Harden. So, you know, I'm not making any accusations or anything, but. He was friends with Donaghy, and we just read the Donaghy story. Mm-hmm. And then this guy has got this history and issue with certain guys.
Yeah. Ooh, that raises an eyebrow. I got to look at the situation really close.
Especially, like, this day and age?
Yeah.
Like, how do you call a guy for 4 offensive fouls?
Yeah, that's crazy. The quotes from Harden after the game,
especially
too,
now, you can't have an official make that kind of impact on a game.
No. They have to be a necessary evil of the sport, but not so omnipresent, right?
Right.
They can't affect the game that way. That's crazy.
Isn't it nuts?
Yeah, they got to look at that, because that's the last thing.
Bad optics. Talk about optics. Yeah.
And timing. That's crazy. You have 4 offensive fouls. Well, that's how you can really affect the outcome, especially with a player like Harden. Kidding me? That's insane. By the way, real quick for people, I'm getting hit left and right in regards to the weather for tomorrow. I'm trying to get a hold of, there's a guy named Steve Mayer that works for the league. That's, I think, the guy making the decisions here.
Right.
So I'm trying to get him to pop on real quick to just tell everybody when they'll get information, what the options are, because there's a lot of misinformation out there. From what I've heard, they can't move the game up tomorrow. It's either 8 o'clock, delayed past 8 o'clock, or Sunday. So we'll get all from the man at some point. I'm trying to see if he can jump on the air with us real quick. Just because I know a lot of people are like trying to plan their weekend.
Well, yeah. I mean, you have this whole thing of, we got a game tomorrow night or what?
Yeah, and it's a big deal. 60, you want to tailgate and everything.
By the way, it's a happening. Mm-hmm. 60,000 people.
Yeah, so I'm trying to get Steve to jump on with us real quick. And once we do, we'll let you know when he's coming on. Let's get to Sean in media on the Fanatic. How you doing, Sean?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, that Robert Kraft story just goes to show you how prostitutes are the hardest working people out there. Imagine going to work one day and you got a rattled liver spot. Oh, my God, it's disgusting.
Wonder if the Deflategate was part of this.
You know what I mean, Chaz? It's like you're going in there for a nice, easy day, and here comes Robert Kraft and Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, that. God.
Unbelievable.
He's trying so desperately to, like, stay young and hip, man. He had this, like, big... Did you see him at the NBA All-Star game?
Sean? No, I can't stand him. Just break a hip and get on with it.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I mean, he'll end up making millions. Like, they'll sell a sex tape now, but they'll end up making more money.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's going to happen.
And try and date a Kardashian next.
Yeah, anything. I just give him another ring for that. Oh, I can't stand it. Hey, real quick, do you mind if I plug my buddy's real estate business and I get into my Harper Point?
No, I'm not going to have you plug your buddy's real estate business.
Really?
Why?
I was on a hold for an hour and a half. Well, because he's a good guy.
No one cares.
All right, we don't just plug people's real estate business.
Well, I understand that. You can do me a solid.
No. That's called Payola, Holmes. I'll get in trouble for that. Get out of here.
Yeah, we're not allowed to plug anything that's not
an
client here.
Really?
Oh, my goodness. Em in the Northeast is on the Fanatic. What's up, Em?
Gentlemen, how are you today? I was going to be calling about Harper, but I've had experience as a youth coach and a high school basketball coach also. But first about Harper.
Yeah.
I'm just a little concerned about the coverage all week. It started 5 o'clock on Monday. I'm semi-retired, so you're like the background music to my life during the day whenever I'm out doing anything. It started 5 o'clock on Monday with you know, the host yelling and screaming about if Harper doesn't want to be here, then we don't want him here. And to be perfectly honest with you, we don't know whether any of these reports that are coming out are true. The only thing we can do is we can sit back and wait. I love Justin's take on everything when he talks about the Philadelphia passion, but I'm 68 years old, and I've come to the realization that it's really not passion for some of the people, especially some of the callers. I'm sorry to say that I don't agree with them. I have concerns the way they yell and scream.
It's fun. I mean, part of it is its own sport, you know?
I understand that. If you wanted to send a tape of why Philadelphia is Philadelphia, all you had to do was, you know, take some of the moments that we've heard on the radio this week.
It's over. Believe me, I've been all over the country. It's same wherever.
Okay. Well, you know, cuz I take your word for that. As a youth coach, first off, in baseball, minor league baseball, they're at an all-time record high as far as attendance concerned. And I was reading an article by the Washington Post, and they say because Major League Baseball is too expensive. If I could just jump in on the
yeah, I'd love to hear your today. Take on that. Sure.
I coach CYO basketball. I was lucky enough and fortunate enough to be an assistant basketball coach.
You sound like a coach. I can hear it in your voice.
You know what, Anthony? I'll take that as a compliment. From Caesar.
It's meant as a compliment.
Natalie knows the school that I coached at, which was Cardinal Doherty. And when I first started, we had the season, then we had summer leagues. But I was there for 26 years, and it morphed into we had the season, then all of a sudden we had spring leagues, then we had the summer league, then we had the fall league.
Yeah.
These kids, and sprinkled in
so,
on that.
So do you think they get burned out? You think kids get burned out?
Yes, because not only were they expected to play for us, but they were playing for AAU basketball. I've also seen the rise of AAU basketball.
Yes, I'm with you there.
And we would have a summer league game. Now, if you, Cardinal Doherty and some of the kids that we had there, if they had an opportunity to go to Las Vegas on the travel team or play at Huntington Park in a hot gym, they were going to Las Vegas because the kids would come back with sneakers and bags.
Oh, yeah, you get all that stuff.
Swag bag.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Well, get to the point here, Em. We got to move on, buddy.
I can't blame that at all for them for taking that. But to be perfectly honest with you, by the time they were done, they were done. They were burned out.
I can imagine. Yeah. And believe me, I meant that as a compliment. I love the coach.
Oh,
you know that.
Revere the coach.
I do. To me, the coach is revered. I love the mindset of leading players
and the analogies that you can take to life from coaching.
No, I love it. I love that. But again, you do burn out kids. Like if you're playing, look at the baseball. You're gonna play. These kids are playing 90 games.
That's crazy.
You know, a kid can't go even play football.
Yeah.
Because you gotta play the fall.
You gotta play fall ball. And you can't play in the winter because you got to be in the cages all winter at the baseball academy or whatever.
Yeah. And listen, I think that's all great, but you're kind of robbing kids of that experience
of being a kid,
of playing all the other sports.
Yeah. And I always thought it was good to play the other sports too because the transferable skills that you can
definitely,
I'm
so with you.
Can lend to that sport and also can expose you to other sports. Maybe that's not the sport you want to play.
I'm completely with you.
Yeah. Let's go to, Hodge in Westchester is on the Fanatic. What's up, Hodge?
Hi, fellas. How you doing today?
Good.
I got a nice Robert Kraft story for you. Since he's in the news today, I tried to call in last week when we were dumping on Boston, but I didn't get in time. But this will come out even better today. I used to work at a company called Bryn Mawr Stereo in Malvern. You probably heard of it, Ant.
Yeah, definitely.
I know Mike used to do some business down in Bryn Mawr and stuff. But one day I'm working at the store, probably in the early 90s, and this little dude comes walking in. And he says, I need a couple of videotapes, blank tapes. I need to make a recording. I said, okay, fine. So I grab his tapes, put them on the counter, and he hands me a credit card, right? And it's got this stupid-looking logo on the corner of the revolutionary dude with the three-point hat on and three-point
Pat the Patriot, yeah.
Yeah, so It says, I think it said Boston Patriots on the card, right? And I said, wow, I said, you know, this is the losingest team, you know, in the league, and it's been that way for like 10 years. And the guy looks at me, he goes, I just bought him, right?
Get out!
No kidding, I swear to God. This is Robert Kraft on the card. So I said, Robert Kraft. I mean, at the time, no one knew who he was.
Right.
So, okay, so I said, great, you know. And I go to run the card, right? Insufficient funds. It was declined.
Oh, my. That's amazing. That's story. Amazing. Oh,
so I
my.
Hope he wasn't paying for the hookers with the same credit card.
Jeez. <Yeah. laughs> All right, thanks,
Hodge.
That's
great, Hodge. That's awesome.
You like that? Yeah. I've got some more for you.
That's good stuff, buddy. That's good stuff.
Has today been the weirdest day in the world? Like, I feel like I'm dizzy today.
Yeah.
This Kraft story.
We've been kind of all over, and it is. It's a weird.
I feel like
it's kind of a weird day.
I feel like I'm in a medicated haze right now.
Well, you were sick.
Yeah. I think I still am.
Yeah.
I think I'm running a fever.
I had to get a blood test, right? So I was there this morning. And, you know, like they don't stop. You're waiting, and I'm looking, and she's adding another vial and another vial.
Tap another one.
I was like, I think I'm done.
I've given enough. I can give no more. Like, what is she taking all this blood for? I mean, like, do you really need that much? Did you feel a little weak after? You have a nice granola bar or something?
Yeah.
And Pepsi? I ain't got to get the sugar in you.
Like an orange? No.
Yeah. Like the little wedges like in a soccer game?
Had a cup of espresso.
Sure, that helped. yeah, it's something that's a diuretic. That'll help you a lot. Let's go to Dan in Collegeville on the Fanatic. What's up, Dan?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, buddy?
So I just wanted to talk about why kids these days aren't playing. And you said a little bit earlier, didn't go much into it. It's all politics. That's what turned me off. You know, when I was about 10 years old and I played in my little league, in a 12-game season, I had 37 RBIs. But because I didn't play in my high school's little league program, they cut me from the ninth grade team. And that team had all those quote-unquote stars from the little league
that
they get to high school, and they can't compete with my areas. We know we have Springford up here who puts hundreds of thousands of dollars into their sporting program. They have tanks of athletes, and we couldn't go up against them. So I really think it's just politics.
Well, there is a lot of politics involved. I don't disagree with that. I don't know if that's the reason why kids aren't playing. I do think the idea of having one sport and a focus on one sport's a big deal. But, you know, I hear you had a negative. You had a negative deal when it came to playing baseball, but you know I don't think that's the primary cause. Do you,
Dan?
It plays into it because I played football, I played baseball, basketball, hockey. I played everything.
Okay,
and baseball's the one that I ended up choosing to go after in high school.
Now, how long ago are you? Are we talking?
Oh man, probably like 7-8 years ago. I'm only 22.
So that's not that long ago.
No, and I was playing fall ball, so I kind of deterred a little bit from football and everything to focus on baseball. But because I wasn't put into the AAU program and I wasn't put into all the travels, I played in the little league around here, and I was really good. And then
unfortunately, that happened to you.
Yeah, but there is politics involved. Yeah, so you know a lot of times. And
I mean, you know, part of that is true. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, listen, kids fall through the cracks all the time.
Yeah.
Kids are really talented that don't come on a radar screen or get disenchanted. But is disenchantment the reason why they're not playing? I think it's more the game itself. That was your point.
Well, that and they're all factors, and the fact that youth sports is so political, because if you were on this travel team all the way through, there may be a kid that comes along that's better than you, but you're retained because you've been there and you have the existing relationships or whatever. Your dad's on the board.
Right.
I don't know. The other part.
I mean, listen, there's definitely stuff like that, without a doubt.
Yeah.
But for the most part, what do you think the decline is? is the root cause.
Well, Jason tweets in, and he makes a great point, and I agree with him. He says, the other factor in youth sports, particularly Little League, is it needs volunteer coaches, and those coaches do not want to get involved as much anymore due to the overzealous parents.
Because that's true.
I mean, and you are, like, dealing with, you're going, I mean, you're like a political figure trying to deal with all this. Why is my kid not playing? Why is this? Why is that? Why'd you bench him? You want to... You know, you get into this thing of, do we want to win? Do we want to have fun? Do we want to play? Where's the line of demarcation? Do we say, okay, it's no longer about developing and having fun. Now it's about winning and becoming the best team we can be. And that comes at a cost to kids that aren't as good. And you got to deal with all of it. And everybody thinks their kid's great, you know, the whole thing. So it is a lot of aggravation for a volunteered position. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think a lot of parents are delusional. They think their kid's going to wind up in the NBA.
Yeah.
Or play Major League Baseball.
Yeah, or running out of the tunnel at Notre Dame.
Yeah. But there's a lot, like, especially when it comes to basketball. Because I'll tell people all the time, your kid's not playing in the NBA, all right? There's only a select few. And you see these kids, like, you can see a kid when he's 8, 9, 10 years old in that sport. And they're freaks.
They're leaps and bounds.
Right? Like, they're just, and they have height in their genes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once in a while you have late bloomers, but you can see these kids early.
You see them a mile away.
Ninth grade, 10th grade, they go, oh, that's this kid. I mean, Zion was doing his YouTube videos, and you went, well, you know, like, that's an NBA player.
Yeah. Well, remember that name. It's not going to be hard to forget it.
Right.
But and
I mean,
you
heard about LeBron when he was in seventh grade.
Yeah.
Like, these kids. Like, these kids are wonderkins.
Yeah. They're not a kid that scores 35.
Yeah.
No, they're a kid that scores 92.
Now, for every
94 to 92
Archie Diakono, which is a great story. Like, I love the fact that he's in the league, right, playing for the Bulls.
Yeah.
That's just so rare. That just never happens. Like, these are lottery tickets.
Yeah, think about it. When you go to the NBA draft, like, the top five guys drafted, three of those five guys will end up being legitimate NBA players. Only three sometimes of the top five. Now you get a guy that's drafted 14th.
10.
Yeah, it's crazy how selective that particular sport is.
Well, it's just not a lot of jobs. That's the point.
So you have to be so good.
Roster size is a point. Is, you mm-hmm. know, and basketball blows up, right? And you got everybody's playing. And, you know, it's just funny because there's a lot of, oh, my kid's really good. I go, that's great. Like, that's cool. And, you know, maybe he loves the game. Like, to me, my conversations around, like, I want my kids to play, right? I don't really care what they do. Whatever they want to do is what they do. Neither of them, like, I don't know, but I highly doubt either of them are going to go any further than high school, right?
Yeah.
So, all I want them to do is love the game so that we have a bond. Just enjoy. The game's great.
And learn from it, the camaraderie of team and everything else.
Well, also, I'd rather them play ball than run the streets or just sit and play video games all day.
Yeah.
So I'd rather them play ball. But I want them to love the game. That's my only, the only reason why I want them to play is that they love the game and that could be a bonding moment. We can share that for our lives.
Yeah. That's what you got them into it for. To fall in love with the game.
That's it.
And because they play it, they can identify with it and everything else.
You know, hey, God bless. Maybe somebody's kid is gifted.
Mm-hmm.
And like I was talking about my man, Sammy, my godson. He's a really, really good baseball player. Like, he's an exceptional ball player. And he's got a chance. Like, he's got a chance to be drafted at some point.
Yeah, and there's a lot of development that comes later in life with that sport,
too. But he's, you know, still a freshman, and there is... You know, how your body type, and, and he's big, so
how you
it's
harness
good.
It.
But, you know, I mean, it's not about what he can do. It's about, you know, enjoying, loving the game, and maybe you get lucky and you can play college.
Yeah,
you know?
Get a scholarship and take the burden of cash off your parents for going to school. Get a free education. Yeah, like when I coach kids, and I've coached high school, and I've coached young kids,
to me,
the whole thing is really simple. It's about life. It's using the sport to teach life skills.
You coach a lot of upper level hockey, right?
I mean,
how many kids did you? Were there any kids that got drafted that you coached?
Not drafted, but there's kids that played really high levels, like you know, playing, you know, semi-pro or whatever it is. You know, kids that I coached in the Ruston hockey program that did really well. There's a kid that's that we coached that's playing out in the Anaheim Ducks farm system right now, was drafted by the Maple Leafs and, you know, that kind of stuff.
That's cool.
But no, what I teach you, every time you lose, it's like the phrase I always use is you win with class and you lose with dignity. That's, if you live by that, you're good to go.
Well, and here's the other thing. It's why I love kids in our area that are playing either big-time college athletics or, you know, you make it like Anthony DeAngelo playing for the Rangers. That's a big deal.
Yeah. He's playing New York Rangers, doing well.
Right.
Yeah. And there's more kids making it from all different sports here now than ever before. We've had the share of NBA guys that have come out of Philadelphia is pretty pronounced.
And I love that. I do. And to me, we should celebrate that.
Yeah, like Rip Hamilton out of Coatesville, Rasheed Wallace, all these guys that came out of Philly and did great things. Kyle Lowry. You know, you look at all these guys. It's phenomenal. The guys have come through here to make it in pro sports. And we're getting more in sports that we didn't before, like hockey and those kind of things. And it's pretty wild.
And look no further than Mike Trout.
And Mike Trout from Little Millville. 610-632-0975. That's the number. How we ended up on this topic, I'll never know. But it's an interesting conversation.
We were just talking Sixers, weren't we?
I don't even know, to be honest with you. I'm slightly amnesic today. But we'll get back to the phones and talk to everybody hanging on. We'll get to you right after this on The Fanatic. But I got to tell you about the Rothenberg Law Firm, because the sports radio hosts and fans, what do we talk about? Our Philly sports teams and how much winning means to us in this great city. And at the Rothenberg Law Firm, they know how good winning feels and how important it is in this town, because that's exactly what they do in the courtroom for their clients every day, and that's win. The Rothenberg Law Firm, Philly proud and Philly strong for over 49 years, and they've been protecting, fighting, and standing up for the injured people of Philadelphia all along the way. If you're like me, you grew up here, you remember seeing Alan Rothenberg on TV. Well, since then, Alan and his family have continued and grown their firm into the trusted household name that it is today. So if you're injured and you want to win, you call the Rothenberg Law Firm. I know this to be true. They're not going to stop until they win for you. Here's the number to call. 1-800-624-8888. That's 1-800-624-8888. Or you can visit their website. That's injury.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Lawyer.com. Again, the website, injurylawyer.com.
You know what's crazy is that, you know, I'm sure you get alerts on your phone and, you know, from different news outlets. Like, I subscribe to CNN and New York Times, Washington Post, and all the major outlets. And so they'll give you alerts, and Bob Kraft is on every alert.
Yeah, it's the big national story.
Like, if you're Bob Kraft, your name is everywhere.
For all the wrong reasons.
Yeah. You know, listen, it's wholly human.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, I mean, it's funny because you jokingly said it, but it's true. It's the oldest profession
in the world.
Right? And
dawn of time.
Here is this man who is, you know, this prestigious, wealthy man is now looked at as, you know, a creepo.
Yeah, and he's married too. And Jamal tweets in and goes, he calls it Tuggate.
Oh my god!
Insert jokes here.
But that's my point. Is that
he's a joke.
Here he is. Like, wait till the late night guys get a hold of this. Right?
Saturday Night Live.
Yes. Good. Think what you could do with Tom Brady and, you know, Belichick. Like, here's the Belichick's news conference. Like, you're gonna have I can write down 20 ideas right now that could make for great skits. Number one being Belichick's news conference.
Yeah, Bill, what do you think of your owner Robert Kraft getting busted in a prostitution ring?
I'm on to the next opponent.
Right.
I think that Shirley has a real good wrist action. No truth to the rumor that the balls were deflated.
it's endless,
yeah,
right?
It's thousands.
But this is every new...
Fodder.
In this world, with instant news, his name is just dinging everywhere on everybody's phone.
You know who he looks like? He looks like the lady in Titanic that lost the necklace.
Oh my God.
Doesn't he? He does. I mean, his face looks like it's falling off.
Wow.
Well, he's not a young man, but I shouldn't make fun because God willing, we all get to that age. But he's trying so cool to be hip. He had this crazy necklace on at the NBA All-Star game. And I'm like, dude, what are you, Eric B. or Rakim? Like, what is going on here? He had like the big VW around his neck that Flavor Flav used to wear. He looked like an idiot. Hanging out with Michael Rubin. I know they're friends. But dude, embrace your getting agey and looking
good.
It
doesn't matter. Yeah. He can do whatever he's into. I don't care about that. Let him do what he wants.
I thought you were like an idiot.
But here's the thing, though. You know, here's this prestigious, wealthy man, and, you know, going to some shady joint in Florida.
Or some strip mall.
Right.
Right next to the Italianissimo.
Yeah.
Put the seed in the trunk. I'll be Italianissimo.
What's that?
That's what Tony was getting the seed. The bird seed was right next to the Italianissimo. He had to go in there to meet the councilman.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Going to get a hoagie at the Italianissimo.
Oh, jeez.
Chris in South Philly. He's on the Fanatic. What's up, Chrissy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Cuz, you got the best show on radio, man.
Thanks, brother. We appreciate that.
Absolutely do, man. Better than anybody.
I'm back to
baseball. You guys are the best. Back to baseball, I hate to say it. I think part of the reason why kids aren't playing so much, I'm not going to say the reason, but top five, there's a lot of creeps out there, man. I've seen, you know, a lot of stories on the TV that just weren't making it to the news back in the 80s and 90s about creepy coaches out there. I think that has something to do with it.
Yeah, oh, gosh. Oh, that like gives you shudders. Right, like down your spine. If you have kids, oh man, that's like the worst of the worst. God forbid. You think it's pervasive and into the back of parents' mind? Because I don't know. I think most parents now, Chris, you know, are it's on their antenna. Their antenna's up. So I think you're kind of on the making sure being overprotective, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would say so. I have kids. I'm just thinking to myself, like, yeah, especially when they're young. I'm not talking about high school. High school kid, you know, if something's going on like that, he or she will tell you. But, I mean, back I was playing when I was 6, 7 years old, baseball. 6, 7-year-old might not come to you with that kind of information. You definitely have to be we definitely have to vet coaches a lot more now.
Oh, I agree, yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a lot you have to do now to coach.
But you do have to go through the police background check, you know?
Hey, man, I'm saying is that it's definitely, I think, a small deterrent. I'm not saying number one or two, but
right. I hear you.
I think it's up there.
But I think your point's right in that you got to vet you have to vet coaches out. I'm completely with you there.
And my second thing is, I just want to go back to the MLB real, real quick. If we don't change the rules now to speed up the game, do you think people really 50 years from now, the kids growing up, say 50 years in the future, do you think they're really going to be okay with how slow the game is right now? I mean, if we
it's
don't
a great question.
Now, when are we going to change it?
It's a great question.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
We tend to think things are cyclical and what was once great will come back around.
How much faster do we get sped up, right? I mean, how much? We're already ADD.
Yeah. It started with the microwave.
Is it going to get worse in the future?
I don't know. It's a good question because I think they're like baseball's behind the eight ball already of making the game progressive. They're already going to have a missing generation as part of it.
See, here's my argument with making the game progressive. Now, I don't know how you change the game without changing the fundamental game. And if you're going to change the fundamental game of baseball, then why even have the sport?
Well, the game actually has changed. Because of analytics and the shift and those things, the problem is that the way the game has changed has made it less enjoyable to watch.
Listen, there's going to be a clock, right? Like, you know, saving 8 minutes off a game, is that going to make people go?
No, but here's the problem is...
It's the pace of the game.
Here's the problem, though, and I've done a ton of research on this. I used Jason Stark's article they wrote in The Athletic, which was tremendously enlightening. The baseball is in play an average of every 4.5 minutes real time. because it's not about, you know, moving runners. It's not about putting the ball on the ground. Strikeouts are up so incredibly much in the game because of launch angles, and pitching's great. And they say,
what was the average of ball in play 20 years ago?
No, I'll have to look it up. I don't have it in front of me. But it is every 4.5 minutes. So you're literally like sometimes, a lot of times you're just kind of watching grass grow when you're there.
Okay, so
watching guys play catch.
Throw out a number. 3 minutes?
Yeah, I don't know. It's
3.5.
Maybe like 3 would be like a big difference to me.
Okay, but what it really? You're still going 3 minutes without ball in play. Are you really? Yeah. Like, it's like.
But there's a tipping point.
Yeah, but it's the game. The game is the game.
Yeah. I get it. And the strategy of the game. It's why the playoff baseball is so great. Because you talk about you hang on every pitch. Every pitch matters.
Well, to me, instead of changing the game itself, you change the season. You eliminate games to make it a better product and elongate the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, the 162 is one of the issues I think that.
Yeah. I think there's fatigue in people go, all right, you know, it's game 100. And you're playing the Mets or the Marlins for the 12th time, there's like a ho-hum about it.
Yeah, and I'm watching scrub pitcher pitch against scrub pitcher because it's the fifth guy in both rotations. And I'm going, where's the intrigue here?
I mean, I think if you really want to help this MLB flourish, I think you have to pare down the schedule to make it a little bit more special.
But you have to not be a slave to your record book anymore.
Well, yeah, without that, listen, saying. The minute you paired that, like to me, I would do it drastic. I wouldn't go to 154.
No.
I would go to 120.
Yeah, lock off 25% of the games.
Yeah.
Go to 120, and then you get rid of your fifth star. You don't play every day in a week. You don't need to play every day. You do double headers once in a while, so you get your season in, but you can lengthen your postseason, to your point.
Yeah, to me,
That's the greatness of the sport.
Playing every day is fine to me, because it's supposed to be like you're accompanied by baseball, right? So, you know, whatever. By nature of calendar and pairing that many games off, you're going to be playing a little bit less. But I got no problem. Like, you know, baseball should be played every day. If that's the game of the sport. That's the kind of nature of the sport. What needs to happen is you elongate playoffs. You make sure you're not playing 162, but you're playing 120. Games matter a little bit more. And, you know, it is what it is. If you're a fan, you're going to remain a fan. If you're not a fan, maybe you watch the playoffs. You go, wow, it's a fun game.
Yeah, that's maybe where it can get its teeth into you. But, and then the 120, you're going, it means more tonight, so I'm not going to miss it.
But here's the...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.